Episode 249.
You got to keep that same mentality. You're not going to be forcing the issue, but you're trying to make friends and you're trying to plant seeds and you're going to be patient. You know what it feels like to have somebody try to hard sell you on something.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hoff, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis, Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you guys know I'm always fired up, but right now I think you're going to really want to listen to this show, folks, because as we know how important data is, how important our security is and cybersecurity and all the things we're dealing with, now we're working from home and we're doing all these different things. But folks, I'm pumped to bring you an expert on this topic. I'm bringing you our featured guest today. What's going on? I'm bringing you our featured guest, Nathan Jones. Nathan, are you ready to be real?
I'm ready to be real, Travis. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, brother. I'm doing awesome. Exciting days in front of us. We just got shut down here in California again. Bars are getting shut down again in the different counties.
Did you go on at all during the break, or have you just stayed shut down?
Me personally?
Yeah.
We went out yesterday. To a winery that had like a real outdoors venue, and we set up with some of our friends that we haven't seen for 100 and something days. We were all just kind of sitting outdoors and listening to a band playing kind of cover music. Not a ton of people out there, you know, not like an indoor space or anything like that, but just a kind of a casual, you know, set up your own chairs, kind of have a little distance between your buddies that you haven't seen for 100 days, that you normally would be seeing them every month or so. We have family things and all our kids hang out and. But so we're just doing something different, you know, and then all of a sudden we got a text. Oh, Gavin Newsom is closing down all the bars, and this is the last time we're going to have this experience for a few.
Well, that was nice.
The point is, folks, it in life, you can never think of it like anyone is controlling you. Right now, we are being hit by something that people haven't seen in 5 generations, 5 lifetimes. My grandma's 92 years old. She said she's never seen anything like this. This is like something we've never seen. So, do you freak out or do you say, this is what life is right now? It's not going to define me. It's not going to define who we are, but I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to find ways to get through this. And if I have to just change what I do and where I go, and if I have to wear a mask or do whatever, I'm going to do it because that's just where we're at right now. Right? I mean, that's just how we have to live. I mean, no one wanted this. No one wants this, but that's the new, if you want to call it, life we're living right now. And so
it's adaption, you know,
and it is.
It's in your social life. It's in your work. It's you may have loved, hey, I got to be in front of somebody. I got to be shaking hands. I got to be, you know, pulling people in that if that's the way you do things. And now you're having to deal with this. It's adaption all across the board and everything you're doing with your family, your friends, your work, everything.
And so, folks, just to talk about a little bit more into who my man Nathan is. He's really focused in cybersecurity, data security, making sure your data is protected. And I know right now that's a huge, huge concern for many businesses as we're working from home. As I know, this is a time that people, criminals like to take advantage of these times where people are freaking out and worried and concerned and not thinking rationally. And so tell us a little bit about your journey into security of people's data. How did it even get started?
Well, it's one of those weird stories. I think everybody's got one where you never imagined that this is where you would end up, you know. And if you would have asked a much younger version of yourself, you know, is this where you're going to be? The answer would have been hell no. But you take some weird turns and, you know, you fail at some things, and then you eventually figure out what you're good at. I started off basically as a failed engineer. I was going through college. My dad dreamed that I would be a programmer like him. I'm sitting in these classes, and I'm looking around, and just I got people that are much smarter than me all around, and I realized that this wasn't anything that I was going to be exceptional at. But then the way I was paying for school was I was doing door-to-door sales. I did pest control alarm systems.
Gotcha.
And I made good money at that. So when I started realizing that I wasn't going to be a great coder,
right?
I do know what I am good at, and it's I can get people excited about things. I can get people engaged. And so it was kind of natural that I combined it because I love the tech stuff. I just wasn't quite good enough at it. So then I kind of embraced more of the sales side and disappointed my father in the process. But I definitely have had a lot more success when I've been on the sales and the marketing side versus trying to actually build the stuff.
It's such an important thing too, Nathan. I think it's such an important thing to know, have self-awareness, because I'm in the same situation. My dad wanted me to be an accountant and has a great accounting practice. Shit, at this point, shit, I might take that business right now because it's a pretty insulated business in this Rona. But yeah, my heart and passion was at that point in my life, in my journey, was I had done accounting with him, done tax stuff, done a lot of different jobs, had understood the industry, but I just didn't see the passion in it. I didn't see, I was real fired up about doing my doctor's numbers again today, you know, and doing payroll or doing whatever, bookkeeping. Just, I knew how to do it. It just wasn't the thing that fired me up. Instead of talking to customers, making campaigns, hey, you want more sales? I'm going to get you on Oprah when I was working at ABC Television. I'm going to get you on, you know, Dancing with the Stars, the top shows. We're going to get you your phone ringing, baby. And my sales pitch is always this in marketing and advertising. It's, if I do my job right, I'm going to make you more money. That's
how good of an accountant would you have been?
I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, I might have been a good customer service. I think that's what I'm in now. You know, I might have been able to evolve my dad's business into maybe handling more services than he currently does, because he's kind of one of those people that he still doesn't have a website. I mean, he's kind of one of those people that just has built a business and reputation has left him going, and now he does a lot more stuff into like trustee work and kind of deeper tax work than just the file your taxes and do stuff like that, more of like estate planning and making sure you're protecting people's assets and farms and big things of land and, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, basically protecting them for families. And so yeah, his business has evolved more than just doing the simple tax returns and stuff. But the point is, I don't know if I would have been a great accountant. You know, I mean, and the truth is, I know how to do my books. You know, I know I take pride in doing the books of our business, and it's one of the things I know how to do. Now his team does all the actual hard work. I give him the numbers and they do all the work on the actual filing things and doing all the, you know, things that I get, send stuff to EDD and all, you know, all the fun stuff of payroll and all that good stuff. But your boy T Huff knows how to do the numbers. And I think especially right now, folks, you need to know your numbers. You need to know what money's going in and what money's going out. I don't care where you're at. You can get more sales, but if you're making $100,000 a month and you're spending $99,999, you're making $1. Let's just be real, right? So if you're spending $100,000 a month and you're burning basically $99,999, you're making $1. And try to find if you can make $2. Cut out some expenses. See if you can make $3, $5, $10. You know, and I think a lot of businesses right now, Nathan, are going to be trying to do that. I mean, talking to the sentiment of my clients, not only people are going to be working from home, a lot of these businesses are not going back into their commercial leases. If possible, they're trying to find legal or, filing bankruptcies, et cetera, to restructure so they don't have to pay their past leases or current leases or restructure their leases. You've seen this with all these big businesses from the AMC movie theaters to, you know, they're doing this to not have to pay their rents and stuff. I mean, they're doing it to restructure and to reorganize and to basically in a way, you know, reset, if you want to call it, because they aren't going to be able to pay all this damn rent. They haven't been making any money. How can they pay rent? And
I was reading yesterday that some absurd percentage of restaurants are behind on their leases right now, upwards of 50%. That's insane. Can you imagine?
And you know what the average restaurant makes, folks? Profit? 4%. If you are a good restaurant, if you are a great restaurant, you profit 14 to 15%, 20% at the highest. If you're like a great operator, you just have figured out, you know, your sweet spot, maybe you're Chipotle, maybe you're, you know, you operate at that level and you just figured it all out, you're 20%. But if you're just a mom and pop, you're starting out 4%, dude, 4%. That's all you're going to make. Yeah, so
there's such a tiny window for failure in that.
It's such a tiny window, dude, and you got to strike it hot. Now, people don't go after. Don't say you can't get your dreams. You still can do that. There's food trucks. There's catering models. You can start from delivering shit at home. I know a friend of mine. She has a successful business. She started making cinnamon rolls, folks. Think about this. She has a successful business. She gets hit with the corona, and she can't accept patients. She can't accept it's dogs. She's a dog groomer. She can't accept dogs for a few months. So what does she do? I got to make money. I got to find ways to make money. I'm going to start just making cinnamon rolls. I'm going to just sell cinnamon rolls to my friend. I'm just going to post them and sell them. Now she can't bake enough cinnamon rolls. That business is almost making as much business as a business that has heavy rent, has heavy expenses, PG&E and all these expenses. And she's cash flowing on this cinnamon roll deal. And now she just needs to find more people to bake cinnamon rolls for her and deliver them.
Is she? I love cinnamon rolls.
I know. She's out here in Fresno, California. But the point is, she might be shipping them to you one day. You don't know. The point is, you just don't know where things are going to take you in life. But I always say right now is, you know, be gritty. This is the time to lean in on a second business. This is the time to find in some extra cash flow. Or in most cases, you can be more profitable if you look at how much money you're spending in your business or in your own personal life. Where are you spending your money? And start to try to just cut a few things, you know, try to lean things up a little bit. If you're eating out too much at Starbucks, go one day a week instead of five. If you know what I mean? Like it's real simple, although very hard to do when actually executed. But then that also gets me into, tell me about your specific business you guys are working with right now in that White Canyon software. Tell them about what White Canyon does for businesses, how you guys help with protecting people's data.
Well, it's interesting. It's a very niche kind of piece of software where we found a space that was really not being served. Essentially, what we do is whenever you're getting rid of your old laptops, your desktops, your servers, you've got all of your information on there. Gotcha. You've got all of your, you know, your customer lists, your databases, social security numbers, health information, and that information can't get out or it's going to be incredibly embarrassing. You have to take care of it. You're legally required to process it in a certain way. Mm. And that's where we come in. So we make sure that no one could ever go back, take your hard disk to a lab and pull the information back from them. We work with the biggest banks in the world, we work with the US government, the House and White House, Morgan State. They all use our software. It's just a really simple tool.
Wow.
That you use when you're getting rid of your old computer equipment to make sure no one could ever, now you don't have to worry about it.
That's amazing. Is it a monthly service or is it just like a one-time service? It's called Wipe Drive. Is that correct?
That's it. Yeah.
It's Wipe Drive, folks. Check that out.
It's about as basic as something gets. It's just something you got to do when you're getting rid of your old equipment. And now you can donate it to a school, a library, charity, do something nice with it, give it away to your friend or neighbor or use it for another business. Great.
Or sell it too. Even sell it.
Sure, of course, and because once you wipe the data, now you don't have to worry about those computers that are in your closet. Now you can just get rid of them or make money, sell them.
I got one right now. I'm about to do this, man. You bet. Wipe data, baby. Wipe that data. Yes. And so, who do you try to talk to specifically in your process of sales? Then, how does your sales day look? Who do you typically try to reach out to and talk to and impress upon?
So. People I work with, and this for some businesses will be very familiar, is I try and make friends because these people all run in the same circles. So when you're talking about IT security for banks, they all get together for lunch. They all meet at the golf course. They all know each other.
Right.
So your best thing you can do is just become best friends with a couple of these people, and they'll do you the solid of introducing you to other people.
Got you.
This is how I focused on growing our sales is close a few deals to get started and then just made great friends with those people. And I talk to them all the time, not about their business, but just being friends.
About life.
Ask them, hey, I see you know so-and-so. Do you mind just – and they like me enough that they're like, yeah, sure.
Is there a certain appropriate amount of time that you wait until you ask for that? Because I know some people go right away, like right after the sale. Hey, do you mind? If you have five friends you can call and text me and send me their social security number and so I can run their credit card tomorrow? How many times have you heard that, folks?
it's funny because I know that some people will just go boom right there, you know, and they've got the personality that maybe they can pull that, you know, they
like
can
that quick transition. Like, yeah, right. Quick
transition. And it's just kind of expected. I'm good friends with these guys for years. And yeah. I'm wanting to go back and back and back. And right. So I'm playing a longer game, I guess you would say. I want to do a great job so that when I ask them for another introduction, they didn't have somebody that came back to them and said, oh, what was that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would rather, and I know it kind of flies in the face of let's do something now, but you are doing something now. You're building these friendships, you're building things out. And if you're that anxious for this like seed to grow, focus on planting another seed instead of just staring at that one that needs a little bit of time what I would say.
Start a podcast. Bring on people on your show. Be on shows. Like my man Nathan's on the Be Real show right now. Plant seeds. That's what you're doing. And so it's very true. And I think that's in this world that we're going through right now, I think authenticity shines through. And I think that people will see through the bullshit, you know, and they see through kind of like the quick schemes and all this kind of stuff. And so I think that's a really good point. Become friends with your customers. Be their friend. I think that's honestly, I'll tell you right now, that's how my dad's gotten where he's gotten. He got a ticket one day, a transaction of a lady's name. He started doing her taxes. 30, 40 years later, he realizes this lady's got $500 million in Berkshire Hathaway stock. Was really good friends with Warren Buffett. Her dad taught Warren Buffett, bought Berkshire Hathaway A shares at $50, dude. $50. The stock's worth $300,000 a stock. And she's got a boatload. Over the years, he was her friend, right? And so that is what, at some point, when she was deciding her assets and planning to have him help her manage that for her family. And she's going to be giving away lots of money, $200 million. She's giving away to these schools and all this money is going around, you know, around. But he's also the steward of her assets because he was her friend. And so it's such a good point that you say is like you play the long term. You don't know how that piece of paper is going to not only change your life, but that piece of paper has changed my life. I mean, my dad's generosity has been unbelievable. He started giving us kids some gifts, small gifts, like $10,000 a year. Still big, but very small. It's not like he's giving us hundreds of thousands of dollars. But that started giving me money to be able to invest in stocks like Tesla, Shopify, Amazon, and started buying Bitcoin and at $200. And that shit changed my life, turned into a snowball, and it's impacted my kids' life. Started 529 plans. And so this one lady, this one person's name on a piece of paper that my dad could have just been like a quick, you know, I'm going to go do her taxes real quick, and she's no big deal, and never really built a friendship with her, has now changed probably all future generations from where he started. You know, like we're all, the future generations are going to be changed because of this one piece of paper, this one lady's name. And so it's amazing what can happen when you just think that way and not think, oh, I got to go, you know, just try to build friendships in your business, in your life, in anything you do. And you don't know if you are looking at that piece of paper that in 20 years from now is just like life-changing, you know, amount of money, not money, but just physical opportunity for your family's future. And I always think about that because in this world of like, oh, we want a quick sale. We want this. We want that. We want this. It's just too many times people forget how underappreciated that really is. And like you said, you are doing work. You're being their friend. That's it.
It's, you know, it was a lot more, it's super clear when you're doing something like I sold pest control door to door.
Right.
It'd be a numbers game, and I would have to knock 200 doors to talk to six people to sell four.
Right.
And so it was really easy to just take that kind of perspective, like, okay, I'm going to try and be friends with 200 people, only six of which are going to talk to me and four of which are going to like me enough to say, you know what, I'll go with you instead of the other guy.
Right.
And so that when you have those kind of numbers, it's easy to keep in mind that you're going to have a lot of failures. But then once you go out into, you know, you're starting your own business and you're trying to sell something, you got to keep that same mentality where you're not going to be forcing the issue. You're trying to make friends and you're trying to plant seeds and you're going to be patient and not try and I don't know. I mean, you know what it feels like to have a hard sell. Somebody try to hard sell you on something and it doesn't engender any generosity at all. And it immediately makes you shut down. Of course, it's going to make other people shut down. I mean, I have seen people that can browbeat people into signing, but That's not the way I've been successful. It's not the way I've closed deals. I close deals by trying to actually serve a useful purpose, trying to help people. And then I make friends with them. They know me, they like me. And then when I say, hey, do you know so-and-so? They say, I sure do. I'll introduce you.
And you know what we all need to figure out, folks, is how to build a business like Amazon has, where they just suck money out of our bank accounts and bring packages to us. Because I know and every single generation now is using Amazon. The point is, the thing I love about Amazon is he just tried to sell books first. And then it just evolved and it became something much bigger. He really served the audience. And I mean, if you love the Amazon app like my family does and like many families do out there, he knows how to not sell you. You're selling yourself. You decide to buy it. Don't forget this. You decided to push the order button and now it's coming to you in tomorrow. You know, and so the point is he just made it convenient, easy, and now he's literally sucking millions and billions and trillions of dollars out of all of our bank accounts right now as we speak. Yeah. And we're happy about it because it's really the best thing that ever happened. I had a guest that said, if we had been hit with this pandemic, folks, in the 20s, when we didn't have something called technology or the internet, we would be screwed. If we didn't have just packages flying to us in the mail and picking things up and Uber Eats sending us food and everybody be screwed. We're doing Zoom meetings and we're doing phone calls and FaceTimes and dude, we would be screwed without technology and the internet. And thank God that that is what is going to get us through the craziest pandemic, whatever you want to call it in the, of current times of hundreds of years of times. So yeah. I always remember just to be able to have the internet and your smartphones and the simplest shit, Wi-Fi, It puts you in the game, baby. And so there's no excuse. But now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
Give us your Instagram name, if you don't mind, so we can get you some more followers.
Actually, I'm...
He's like, I keep it private. Don't
I'm
even
embarrassed on this kind of thing. I mainly just use it for my kids' pictures.
Oh, that's fine, dude. That's what life's about anyway.
You know what? But I just understanding how you do your. I realize the opportunities I'm missing. I encourage everybody to go back and listen to all your past episodes because you rail on this issue, and it's obvious that I've missed opportunities because I don't have a better social media presence. So this is a learning opportunity for one of your guests here too.
Absolutely. Hey folks, just remember we're all in different places, right? And at the end of the day, no one is ahead of each other. This is not a pissing contest. Khloe Kardashian or one of these girls is a self-made billionaire and sells these Instagram posts for $200,000 a post. She's ahead of us all. So we're not in a race to be better or have more influence or whatever. It's just a race to literally like put your message out. Like you said in the beginning, it's a way of planting seeds at scale. It's a way of kind of putting out your message and content at scale where more than just one person, especially if you go live or if you go on a podcast, this conversation could be had on someone in China or someone in India or somewhere ever. Anyone that basically wants to listen can literally get it. And I don't mean you don't have to be there with them to have this conversation. And so they can listen to it in their eardrums while they're working out, walking, going to the gym, driving a car, wherever. And so it's at scale. And so that's the thing I love about social or anything on the internet is that it's all scalable. It's not like the conversation happens. We have it here once. Thousands of people could listen to this. Millions of people maybe over the years will listen to this over our lifetimes maybe. Who knows, right? And so it's at scale now. The conversation's at scale. 30 years, we come back and listen. Oh, look at Grandpa was saying. Look at, you know, the conversations. And so it's fascinating. A couple more questions for you. Laptop or smartphone?
I work on laptop. Not productive enough on phone yet.
It's so true. Yeah. The smartphone's good, but not as good as a laptop. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify. I got gobs of fun playlists on there for every particular mood I'm in. So
best,
yes,
dude.
Love it.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I love curating.
Oh,
a
yes.
Great playlist.
Absolutely.
You know? Give me what's your best playlist that you're super proud of?
One of my favorite ones on Spotify. Yeah. I have a few. I have my own new music vibes one that we started around our blog. But one of my favorite ones is the ones that they curate. I'm pulling it up here as we speak. I like Your Summer Rewind.
Your summer rewind. I'm gonna note of that.
It's cool because it takes the music you listen to and it makes like more of like a summer rewind mix of maybe not like necessarily the most current ones, but a mix of all the last maybe 5 years of music you've listened to and makes a cool summer playlist just for you. It's just your playlist. And that's one of the best things I think I love about Spotify is that they make a lot of these lists. Not only that, but like the Discover Weekly app, the Release Radar.
I like those.
Those are all based on your interests and artists you like. And so it's very algorithm-based, just like any of the social networks. They're really bringing music or shows or content that you're going to like that stumbles you on a path of a new artist, and then you latch onto them and listen to more. You know, they want to keep you on that damn thing as long as possible, just like sure. Facebook. So
mine's going to have a lot more Spice Girls than yours, right?
Yeah, Spice Girls. Yeah, and then my boy Joe Rogan is moving over there, so they made a big move, and the stocks have gone up like 100% in like a month.
You going to be getting an offer from Spotify anytime soon?
Shit, man.
Is that what you're shooting for?
That would be epic, dude. That would be epic, but I'm sure there's 5,000 million, 100 million other people in front of me. So I'll just be happy when I just, you know, one day I get that deal and I'm talking to, you know, somebody and like, hey, this was all worth it, baby. You know, I got to put in some more work. I got to put in more work, bottom line. Movies or video games?
Ooh, video games.
Nice. I like
that. That was the first one I actually had to really not just give a think to. Yeah, I love movies too. So tough.
So it goes both. But sometimes video games give you another edge that you don't get from movies.
I agree. I like, I don't know. There's something about being able to compete against the computer and be able to see that you're progressing, that you're actually getting better. I'm not one to really play the multiplayer games because I never know like how much spare time they have, how long they've been playing. So right. I never know if I'm actually getting any better. I like competing against the computer. So I
absolutely
know progress.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. A lot of these kids, you know, they're probably playing on there all day. It's like impossible to beat some 13-year-old kid.
Yeah, I got kids and a job and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. You just want to pop in there, know you're competitive, and then pop out and be good. You know, it's totally, totally a smart way of playing the video games because it's very interesting. Video games are very there's a lot of new research about how good they are for you in many ways. If, like anything. In moderation. If in moderation, they are actually good for you.
Isn't it cool when science comes along a little later?
And it validates.
It's you like that horrible, that thing that your mom said was a horrible habit, thing that your mom said never served you at all. And you're like, oh, wait a minute.
It's so true. And I think everything that we are doing that's progressive is always going to be like looked at negatively at first. And then you'll find out that there was positive benefits. Just like anything, like everything, Alexa and all these things, they're gonna say, "Oh, there was these negative shit," but then they're gonna say, "Oh, it's capturing all my data, it's listening to all my voice data, and all this stuff." And they're gonna say, "Well, on the flip side, now it knows how to protect you better, or now it knows that you're sick because it can tell your voice is off, or now it knows you have something that we never even predicted that it would know because it has 10 years of your voice data, and now it can tell you, hey, Trav, it sounds like you might have a lump in your throat or something." You don't know, but that could be coming because it knows and listens to your data, and so. The point is, you don't know how good or bad these things are. I always say, everything in moderation, folks. Everything in moderation. Stocks or real estate?
I'm a pretty inactive investor.
You just focus on yourself, focus on the business, focus on helping.
When I have the money that's working, I just stick it all in index funds. And my I want to make money from growing a business. And then eventually exiting that. Yes. So that's my focus.
That's awesome, bro. And index funds are the way to go for most people. They are. I mean, it's the safest play. It's the safest, easiest way to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not sexy, but if you can pay attention, you can do a whole lot better. But
you can't. It's so hard to manage.
I'm not an expert on that. And
so most people should just do buy an S&P 500 and call it a day, man. Buy a broad index and call it a day. VT if you believe in the whole world. A couple more questions for you. When you wake up in the morning, why do you love being you?
Oh man, I just look at my life. And I'm like, I am blessed. I have a great family. I live in a great place. I got things I can do. I don't get out of bed regretting anything or dreading anything. When I pick up the phone, I'm not like, oh man, who could that be? I'm always like, when I pick up the phone, it's like, I'm excited to talk to, unless it's obviously a telemark or something like that. But when I talk to anybody that wants to talk to me, it's good. So I don't know. I always worry that, you know what, maybe it's not always going to be like this, but like when I wake up in the morning right now, it's fantastic. And it has been for a while. I'm blessed.
And that's important too, because it's mindset, right? I mean, you are in control of your mindset. You could say I'm going to go the other way, you know? And so like, I'm going to avoid the calls, or I'm going to just, you know, whatever, take a negative look at it. So it's very important what you said there, in that you are choosing also to have that anti-negative, complete positive mindset from all points of your day, even when you're going through the shit. We're going to go through shit one day. We're going to have a tough day. We're all going through the corona. We're all going to have a sick day. We're all going to have a day where our energy is a little less, but that doesn't mean we still don't show up. That doesn't mean we don't still give it our best. That's the most important thing in this life, I feel like. Do you think you'll ever retire?
No, I don't. I think I'll probably... I might change my focus to be less, you know, I enjoy what I love what I do. I love what I do. I get to work with great people, you know, all that. But eventually I'd like to be a little more of a, have a great influence on the planet, you know, try and do something great for mankind. It'd be nice to leave a little legacy other than just, you know, having, you know, I don't know. I'd like to do something a little grander eventually, but right now I'm trying to be a good father, good VP of sales, all that. So
that's the most important thing right now, is that you're being that. That is the way you're helping.
Eventually, I'd love to do something a little more noble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, we all have that, I think, in our hearts, right? Yeah. Like, we all have that in our hearts. Like, what are you going to do? Be buried with all your money? I mean, come on. How fascinating does that sound? I was even thinking about it a couple of days ago. I was like, damn, one day you're going to be like in a box and you're going to be in the ground. And like, yeah. What I was thinking about is like, how many people are going to visit you? And I was thinking, damn, that's a crazy thought, dude. Like, was I a great enough person that when I left, that they wanted to come back and say hi to me and like visit me? Like, I had goosebumps thinking about it. I'm like, dude, it's a trippy thought, because it puts you in a real present state of mind of like, am I being a good dad? Am I being a good husband? Are these people going to want to be around me when I'm gone and want to say at least what's up to me? Like, hey, TF, I love you, man. Like, come by.
How many people would be despondent that you were gone? You know, not just like, oh, that's a shame, you know, but just wrecked because Travis is no longer.
Yeah. When this year, when Kobe passed, I think it really changed the world for many, many ways. But for dads, you know, made us want to step up, be the dad, make sacrifices, and know that, you know, even the greatest people sacrifice for their family, and they maybe say, oh, no to this opportunity to be at their kid's soccer practice. And so it made us feel like that's cool. And that's a good thing. And I love Kobe for that. I love that he made that sacrifice. And, it makes me want to be a better dad every day, man. And when you start your day, do you have a typical routine?
Yeah. Part of the problem with the COVID thing is just I've been working from home, as you can see.
Absolutely.
I'm here in my unfinished basement. It's part of the – it kind of screwed up my routine a little bit, because I liked having I got to get up, got to get dressed, got to take a shower, got to, you know, exercise – have a commute where I do a few of these kinds of phone calls. And
right.
So it kind of jumbled things up, but I'll be honest, this is actually one of the things I wanted to point out was I found one big opportunity for myself in this thing, which is some people are less anxious to engage with you during this because they're so busy, but others are more receptive than they've ever been,
right,
to spending some time and actually building some rapport with you and taking the time to engage. And so take advantage of that right now, because that's not going to be around forever. Although it looks like might be going into another lockdown, but take advantage of, there's plenty of people that you're going to engage with that are more receptive right now than they've ever been.
Right.
So take advantage of that while that's there. Make some new friends.
Yeah, everyone has basically a little extra time in their hands. You know, where are you going to go? You can't travel anywhere. You can't go overseas. You can't do anything. So even the biggest stars, biggest celebrities, biggest whatever are willing to maybe do a Zoom meeting and are willing to do something at scale, pick up a FaceTime, do something that you never expected. And how you do that, folks, you start a podcast. You start something where they want to be on your show. And these people, you'd be surprised, might want to actually come on your show. And so that's one of my tips for you guys. If instead of doing anything else, start a podcast. It's one of the best things you can do to not only build your, if you want to call it your expectations and knowledge and understanding of the world and meeting new people and at scale too. When we talked about at scale, but secondarily, you're going to be a beast after doing many hosts of episodes and learning different personalities. Like we talked about in our very first conversation about voice inflection and talking about how you match someone's personality, which it's hard to do in sales and in life. And your boy T-Huff has a lot of energy. Most people say, what are you drinking? Are you on drugs? What are you doing? And this is just who I am. Although I can be a little bit more boisterous and a little bit more loud on when I'm on my show, but this is just kind of who I am. I'm always like that. And so the most important thing is first is always be you. Always be the person you are. Don't try to be someone you're not. And know that you get better interviewing, you get better at sales, you get better at working out, you get better at doing anything as you practice, as you do it, as you put in the grind. And know it's not going to just happen in one day. Like you're not going to just start recording shows on Anchor and then all of a sudden tomorrow you're going to be the top of iTunes competing with Joe Rogan, who's put in 10 years of work interviewing people for 3 hours like Elon Musk and taking these hard-ass interviews with people that are like very tough to talk to, but he finds ways to get through it for 3 hours in person. And it's impossible. And so you can't compete with numbers. It's not a numbers game. It's just that you are competing against yourself. If you say, oh, I can't do that. I can't create a podcast. I don't have the time, dude. That's the shit that gets people. And so just know everyone has the time. You just got to find a way to make that time and you got to find a way to do it. I record 4 interviews on Mondays, 2 hours, 4 interviews every single Monday. Sometimes we do 6 to 8 interviews a week. I'm a pop entrepreneur. I don't have the damn time, but I make the time. I also go on people's podcasts for hours. So you can find the time, folks. You got to just make it. You got to find ways to make it and push back and find time in your schedule. And like you have, my man, last 2 questions for you. If you could sit down to a dinner with anyone in the world right now, who would it be?
I know he's kind of a polarizing figure, but I'd love to sit down with Elon Musk for sure.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Man. Dude, that would be crazy. That would be crazy.
I just feel like you could talk to him about extraterrestrials. You could talk to him about the future of the planet, future of humanity, the virus, like everything. And like anything would be, and he's just so intellectually curious. I envy that about, like, I would love to sit down and talk to him for a while.
And yeah. So a fun fact about Elon, in case you guys didn't know, his best ideas happen, where do you think? In the shower. He says he creates his ideas in the shower and then he goes the next day and executes them. He finds programmers to execute his ideas. That's how he's made Boring Company, SpaceX. And some of these, obviously, he's taking personal investment. He's got a lot of money now, but he thinks of the idea and then he goes and finds someone to actually build the thing. He's not doing all the actual work. He's got the idea. He's the idea guy, right? He's the idea guy. He goes and recruits the best programmers, engineers out of Caltech and these top-level schools where they're just the best of the best. And then they do all the work. They're the ones that build these rockets. It's not him. He's not physically welding these rockets together, folks, in case you didn't know. I mean, he might just do it for posterity. He might just go, but he's got $56 billion. He doesn't have to be welding Teslas together. The point is, he's the idea guy, and you could be too. Maybe it's in the shower, wherever it is. I will challenge you all of this. If you have an idea, write it down. I got my big idea book here of all my big ideas. Oh, shit. T-Hub maybe never gets to any of these ideas. But sometimes when I'm bored, I go through them, and I go, oh, that's an interesting business. Oh,
give us one of your ideas that you got on your pad there.
Interviewing your heroes, folks. I need to either have a course, a book, or something about how to start a podcast show. And after doing it for 6 years now, how to do it successfully, how to bring your heroes on your podcast, how to get them, book them, how to record the show, how to promote the show, how to be a podcaster. I need to do it. The problem is it's what? What do you think the problem is? It's myself. The reason why I'm not doing it is me. I'm too busy, right? So I'm telling myself, that's one of my ideas. I need to do that. It's on me. If I want to make it happen, I know Nathan's not going to do it. I know my wife's not going to do it. My kid's not going to do it. My mom's not going to do it. Shout out to her. It's her birthday today. The point is, it's on me. If I want to make that idea happen and I got 50 more on there, it's on me. Now, some of those ideas I can't make happen. I need to find the programmer. I need to find the engineer. I need to bump into someone on my podcast that's in line with me because I don't have the skills. But that's the point, is you have the ideas. Be the idea person. Folks, last thing for us. Can you give our listeners one last Real Talk thought?
Yeah, love the name of your podcast here, the Be Real thing. That's the most important lesson I've ever learned in my life. It's just be genuine because people can sniff out a fraud pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So you're much better off just being yourself, not pretending to be something you're not. But there's ways that you can be the best version of you. That's what your podcast here is all about. I stand behind you on trying to just help people be better versions of themselves. But don't try and be something that you're not, because you'll end up like me, where you go down a path and you're like, oh, geez, this is really not meant for me. And so you're going to be better off just embracing who you are.
Absolutely.
That, and then one last thought on just, if you need any help.
Yeah. Talk about the help. Absolutely. Let's go.
With making sure that your drives are being properly handled when they're reaching the end of life. This is what we deal with. We've been doing it for about 20 years. We're the market leader in this. We work with more of the Fortune 100 than anybody else. Reach out to us. You can email me at nathan@whitecanyon.com, or you can reach us at whitecanyon.com and take a look. Our product's called WipeDrive. We make sure no one could ever get your data back when you're done with your old laptops and desktops.
I love that. So important. So important, folks. We'll put that in the show notes. Folks, you've been hanging out with Nathan Jones and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real.
What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. We're all going through a lot right now. And Real Time Outsource, my business, is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times, and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now. Take it seriously. So come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services. Little to no cost for most of the businesses, and some businesses, you know, you're gonna have to pay, but that's just part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now, so take advantage of us. realtimeoutsource.com. Check us out, and we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond.